You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I'm Terry Belinek, National President of All Rounds Abortion Rights Aotearoa.
So in March of this year, there was an abortion law reform in New Zealand. Why did abortion law need to be changed here?
Oh, my Lord. Well, for one thing, the abortion law had not been changed in about over 40 years of our previous abortion law was definitely not fit for purpose. It put up unnecessary and unreasonable barriers between people trying to get health care and the health care that they needed. Specifically, if you needed abortion care, you needed to get the approval of two certifying consultants, which are doctors that you've never seen before in your life. And these people are supposedly going to give you approval for something you've already decided you need. Accessing abortion was difficult because all the hoops that you had to jump through meant that there was a lot of delay involved in the process. We know that abortion is really, really safe, but it's safer the earlier in the pregnancy that you get it. So what was happening was, you know, people's abortion care was being pushed out later and later, and that was not very good. And also, the cutoff point was 20 weeks, and after 20 weeks, the only grounds for abortion were the life or health of the mother. Fatal fetal abnormality was not a ground, and that's one of the commonest reasons for abortion after 20 weeks. So that was a problem.
So last week, National MPs Harete Hipango and Simon O'Connor made the false claims that this law reform allowed for full-term babies to be aborted. What do you think led them to make these allegations?
You know, I don't know. I do not see into their minds. So I can only surmise. I note, however, that claims like that are often made in places where the abortion controversy is getting locked up, like the states. Why would anyone say something like that? I have no idea.
This is an example of politicizing social issues. Is this common in New Zealand politics?
No, I don't think it is, and I hope it's not something that we're importing, because politicizing social issues is, you know, it doesn't seem to lead to a good place, and I'm looking at the United States to make that claim. Yeah, social issues are things that should really be left to individual people to decide for themselves. It seems odd, but it's the argument that we seem to be having over and over social issues is whether one group of people will be able to decide for other people. So you get a situation where, you know, people who oppose abortion don't have to choose it, but they shouldn't really be able to stop people who need the care.
Would you say that issues regarding women's health are more likely to become politicized and polarized?
Oh, absolutely, because of, you know, changes to our society in the past 50 years. There are people who still want to relitigate the whole question of, you know, letting women out of the kitchen, so to speak. There's a small minority in many countries, and certainly it exists in New Zealand, of people who really, really think that our society would be so much better if we just went back to the 1950s. Very small group of people. Most people have a better memory of what the 50s were actually like and do not want to go back there by any means.
Do you think that politicizing social issues is something that should be reprehensible? And how could the broader public hold people accountable for frankly, lies?
Yeah, people should be holding people accountable for saying things that are entirely, completely untrue. And how to do that? I think the most effective way to do that would be at the ballot box. And to some extent, you know, in polls, and talking back. I mean, it's interesting that, you know, in the kerfuffle that was happening last week, folks on Twitter and Facebook seemed to be quite keen on holding the MPs that were making these, you know, ridiculous claims. They seemed quite keen on holding them to account, and that was beautiful.
Should there be stricter protocol around what politicians can and cannot say for political gain?
I'm not sure how you would structure something like that. I mean, it's one of those freedom of expression issues. People often need to be free to say utterly stupid things and you know, wear the consequences of having done so. I think it's more an issue of they need to be held accountable, and it's almost something that could be checked on the media side.
Mm.
Often in the media, you get a situation where, oh, well, you know, they rather than going for, you know, fact-checking or, you know, telling people, you know, what the facts actually are, they kind of go for balance. And, you know, admittedly, this is something that I've seen a lot more in the States, but people are starting to call it out. And I wouldn't like to see it increasing in New Zealand, the tendency to think, oh, okay, well, we got one, you know, unreasonable talking, let's go find another one who believes the opposite. Because oftentimes, one of those two people, you know, has the facts on their side, making them not an unreasonable fool. Going for balance is not the way to fact check. People, there's no getting away from fact checking. And I think, you know, obviously the media needs to fact check things like, you know, claims like those made last week.
Now, you've mentioned a lot of, you know, that Americanized politics and that fear-mongering that we're seeing. What are the real-life implications of this, and what are the risks when we see things like the comments that the National MPs have made? Is there risks of this going up to the election?
Yeah, I think it is. And there's a word there's a term for it. It's called stochastic terrorism. That's where, you know, people make a lot of, you know, statements, irresponsible statements, like the sort that you saw last week that are, you know, entirely not based in fact. That it's not going to cause the average person to do anything crazy. But it's by putting ideas out there like, you know, oh, you can get an abortion right up and you can abort a full-term baby. It's going to cause people who are less well-versed with reality to have an outsized reaction, and makes it more likely that someone might do something like happened, for example, in Colorado. In Colorado, what ended up happening was there was a guy in Colorado who was not in the best of mental health, and he wound up, you know, shooting up a Planned Parenthood. And there are a couple people killed. That is an example of stochastic terrorism. That's where the people you're rocking up are people that you don't know. And you don't know exactly what they're going to do or when they're going to do it. So it's not really, in that sense, it doesn't meet the definition of a conspiracy. And yet, you're engaging in this irresponsible behavior.
Now, the comments that the National MPs made were made via Facebook. And it seems like Facebook is constantly under fire for its role in perpetuating the polarization of politics. I mean, as the national president of the Abortion Law Reform Association New Zealand, what are your thoughts on the role of social media in furthering social issues? Is it necessary? Do corporations such as Facebook have a responsibility to help and not hinder such progress?
Yeah, I think they do have a responsibility, and I think they're not living up to it. In a way, social media companies are behaving like the very worst of the media, in the sense that their purpose is to rock people up. What they're selling is eyeballs. What they're selling is clicks. So to their business model, it doesn't really matter if they're saying a lot of things that are completely untrue, or rather giving a platform to those who are saying things that are untrue. They need to take responsibility for that, because that has consequences in the body politic. If people, and I'm not just talking about stochastic terrorism in this case, you know, also in the sense of, you know, people who just believe things that are ridiculous. You know, the truth actually does matter. That being the case, they really need to do better.
The abortion law reform that happened in March this year, it does seem like a leap forward, especially when you were describing what it was before. And it highlighted just how outdated some of New Zealand's policy is regarding women's rights and women's health. Are there any other areas where you would say New Zealand has some work to do?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For one thing, you know, the work around abortion is definitely not finished. You know, they haven't changed. There's much change that still needs to happen in that space. There was a little unfinished business from, you know, what we were doing before passing the bill, and that's safe areas. Safe areas were, you know, inadvertently left out. It seems that, you know, hopefully after the election, Parliament can get stuck in to, you know, doing something about that. And that would be really good. But, you know, as you say, in other areas of women's rights, for instance, you know, gendered violence is a huge problem in this country. And there are things that could be done that, you know, I don't know why they haven't done them yet. Around sexual violence, around, you know, pay transparency, there's much work that is still to be done.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.